spirit to them that ask. And if you've been feeling dryness in your walk with God, ask for a fresh measure of the spirit and power. The presence of God is here. Mashete kabo sobolilis. Zeleketenes umbatakaye sobolilis. Zelete kabo sobolis. On my own. On my own. I can't make it. I can't make it. On my own, on my own, on my own, I can't stay.
I can't stay.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. You can sit down, you can have your seat in God's presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to verse 4. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Before I go ahead, I want to welcome all God's servants in the house. Men of God, women of God, people who have been called into ministry to the body of Christ. You are welcome. We appreciate your presence, gracing this place with your presence. It's awesome. Please, let's give a round of applause to all the servants of God that are in the house. Please, don't be angry with us for not acknowledging you by name, but we honor you. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Amen. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen in thee. Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Say amen.
Amen.
Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. But what is this that makes Gentiles to come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising? It's because you are arising, you are shining, and the glory of God is seen in you. There is something about glory that attracts people. And there is a dimension, there is an intensity of the glory that will not just attract people. I'm talking about people who don't even care about God. A time will come, there's a level of glory that will be in your life that it will cause even people that don't care about God to want to know what you know. That you are the way you are. But there's an intensity of the glory that will not just attract Gentiles, it will also attract kings. The Bible says Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Remember the theme of this conference? God's kingdom, power, and glory. You see, the truth is that you cannot separate the three of them. If you understand the three of them, if you have received the kingdom of God, you will also, in effect, receive the power of God, and you will also receive the glory of God. We live in a generation today where it's possible, and it didn't start today, it's been around, I mean, from the beginning church, from the first generation church, it's possible for people to receive the kingdom of God, but something happened along the way. The power is not yet there. They've not touched the power. Praise the Lord. Somebody was ever... Yes. Brike. At least. I'm not making this up. I remember there was a time me and you were evangelizing. When I was living in Lokoja. And we met one man who was not ready to listen to us. It was me and you, somewhere there, in this phase two area. He was not a Christian, and he was not ready to listen to us. It was just like we were boring him. And then, I think you were the one that started talking. And then I was just thinking and meditating and praying. And he was just, you know, you could see he wasn't interested in what we were saying. And I said, you have three champs in your house. Amen. I said, you have three champs in your house. And you trust in those champs because of the affliction in your life. The guy's attention was now 100%. You know, he says this, our gospel is not in word alone, but it's in a demonstration of the spirit and power of God. You know, Paul is a wise master. He was a wise master builder. Because the way you can touch the power of God is through the spirit of God. So Jesus will tell his disciples that, tarry until you are endued with power. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we say the kingdom of God, when you receive the kingdom of God, one of the signs that you have truly received the kingdom of God is that the power of God will be in your life. But you see, there is a strange thing under the sun where it is possible for a person to receive the kingdom of God and the power of God is not yet, for some reason, their light is not shining. It is their light, but it is not shining. So he says, arise. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus said, let your light. So it is possible for you to let your light. And it is possible for you not to let your light. The theme is God's kingdom, power, and glory. And it is possible for you as a believer to not only know... See, what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is God's government. I live in the southwestern part of Nigeria right now. And they talk a lot about glory, stealing of glory. How many of you have heard of that? Amen. Where they will say they've stolen his glory. Abby, you can bear me witness. Okay, I wanted to tell us a story, but I will tell us later. It's possible for you to receive the kingdom of God, and for some reason, the power of God is not yet in your life. And the glory of God is what advertises, is what projects the power of God. The glory of God is what projects the power of God. It says, you are gods, but you will die like mere men. That's not your portion. That's not my portion in Jesus' name. Because it's possible for you to have light and the light does not shine. My neighbor told me one day that I should not give, you know, we have this in my apartment. We have this water, you know, we pump our water together. So we contribute money sometimes every month, sometimes once in 3 months for pumping water. And one of my friends who is a pastor came to warn me one day. He said, that woman, now when I got to that compound, there was one woman in that compound that was terrorizing the compound. And when I'm talking about terrorism, I'm not just talking about physical, spiritual terrorism. I'm talking about physical terrorism. Okay, there are 4 blocks in that estate. And 2 of them were disconnected. Two blocks in that estate did not have power, electricity. And it was like that for almost a year. And she was the one that disconnected them. And she was a fellow tenant. You people don't know what... And she was a fellow tenant. She was one that disconnected those 2 blocks because she was not happy with some people in those blocks. And there was nothing. Tell anybody about nothing. There was nothing that they could do about it. Because they were... One of them, whose light was disconnected, ended up being my friend. God used us to revive him. He's a medical doctor. This woman, I don't think she finished secondary school. And there was nothing they could... The only thing they could do is to be complaining. They would go to Nepal. Nepal would say, that they were the ones that did one thing, that they are not going to connect their light. I came into the compound and I met that kind of situation. And there was this particular... Now, I like minding my business because when I came, my own block, there was light. So I didn't know what happened that they didn't have light. So later I started discovering that it was the madam of the compound that, who is a fellow tenant, that disconnected their light. And there was nothing they could do about it. She used to brag that she has demonic power. Are we together? And so I came around. I was in the compound, and what got me involved in that matter was that I was going to work one day, and I saw one of my neighbors walking very fast, going to the road, and I called her to give her a lift, and I noticed that she was crying. And I said, "Madam, why are you crying?" She said, "It's this woman, that woman, that they had a misunderstanding, or not yet another misunderstanding. And the woman, now this woman is a widow, her husband just died. And the woman told her that she will send her to where they sent her husband to." At that point, the cup was full. I said, "Jesus, I know I have PhD in minding my business, but how can I be inside a compound and somebody will be threatening this kind of threat?" Well, the long and short of the matter, the summary of the matter was that they gave her quit notice in that compound. And she lost all the power. You see, the people that she was exercising power over, they didn't understand that there's a realm you touch that will give you advantage over the most intellectual people. Even if you don't go to school. See, praise the Lord. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens. Now, if you see that word heavens in the Bible, it's not always talking about heaven of heaven, where God is. The Bible says the heavens of the heavens are the Lord's. But there are heavens. There is the heavens of the heavens. So you see in scripture, for example, that there is spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or high places, as King James will put it. Are we together? The heavens rule over the earth. So if you find someone that has more stature than you in any realm of heaven, amen. It is possible for you to have a lot of stature in the second heaven. Hi, God help us. My father will soon come, so praise the Lord. And I don't want to. It's possible for you to have a lot of stature in the second heaven, and you are a king over men. But when a man that comes that has just small stature in the third heavens, small stature, but he understands his stature. You know, as Daddy was saying yesterday, you know, you sit. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above principality and power. He would wield some, you know, okay. If you have little authority in the second heaven, you know, a small witch, have you seen the kind of, now, I don't want to sound superstitious, but I'm sure you know that witches are real.
Yes, sir.
You know, sorry, the kind of people I deal with are the kind of people you have to do exegesis to prove to them that witches are real. Because the God of this world has so blinded them. There are people like that in this country.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know, a small witch who has just little authority in the second heaven can have so much authority over people who just operate on the earth realm without any advantage in that realm. And then people that have more authority in that realm have authority over people that have small authority in that realm, and people that have great authority in this realm without any authority. Why do you think politicians go and do sacrifices and all of that to win physical election? Praise the Lord. Now we're talking about arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of God is risen upon you. And I talked about the fact that you cannot separate the kingdom of God from the power of God and the glory of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There is a realm of glory that everybody born into this world was born with. If you read John chapter 1, it talks about how that he is the light that shines into everyone that was born into this world. Have you seen that in your Bible? The reason is because everyone that was born into this world, whether you were born into a Christian family, you were born a believer or an unbeliever, you were born with the image, you know, you were created in the image of God. So by virtue of that, there is a dimension, there is a degree of glory that you have akin to the dimension of God's life that he has proposed for you to shine in on this earth. Now, Praise the Lord. You know the way I am holding microphone and preaching like this? There are some people that God has, the place God gave them microphone to hold is in the business world. And it is God that gave them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so when you hear them to say they steal glory, they steal somebody's underwear because they want to steal their glory. It is a realm. It's a realm. And people who can operate, there are people in this room that are afraid whether they've stolen their glory. It's because you don't understand that when you are in Christ and you are in the kingdom of God, amen, there is power and there is glory there. And this kind of glory, see, there is a glory you were born with that they can steal. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. But there is a glory that you can touch by virtue of your submission to God, by virtue of your alignment with Christ, that if the only way they can steal that glory is if they go to heaven and touch the source of that glory. Are we together? Praise the Lord. But you see, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. I want us to read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. I want to show us something. I'm looking around because Apostle Aramel will soon arrive. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Are we there? Nevertheless, yeah, go to that previous verse. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Amen. Now go to verse 18, sir. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. Now let's read verse 17 so that we can get this in context, because there's just one point I want to prove. Now the Lord, is that verse 17? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay. Now, what Apostle Paul was explaining here was the new order. You remember when Moses went to Sinai and he had encounters with God, he needed to cover his face with a veil because of the kind of glory that his body was physically radiating. Praise the Lord. There's a dimension of glory that can be radiated physically. Amen. You shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. It is not metaphoric, it's real. What does it mean to lay your hand? I just laid my hand on this thing. That's what it means. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just laid my hand on this thing. Because there is power. When the glory of God and the power of God is within you, it can be transmitted through your vessels. So you put your hand on sick and power flows literally to them and causes them to be healed. Such should be the destiny, the story of a believer. But what I'm saying is that there is glory. If you read this, it says, we all. Sorry, go to that verse, sir. We all. Amen. With unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, are changed into the same what? Now, you would expect that it would say are changed into the same glory. But it says we are changed into the same image. Because it is the image that invokes the glory. It is the image that what? Invokes the glory. So, in order for some people to have power in darkness, they have to be very wicked. Because the kind of power that they subscribe to is manifested the way, to the degree to which they are changed to the nature of that spirit. So we know from scripture that spirits are not equally wicked. More wicked spirits are more powerful than spirits that are not as wicked as them. Jesus Christ said, if an unclean spirit is cast out of a man, it goes looking for where to stay, not finding. It comes back. If it and it find that the place is kept, swept, garnished, it will go and bring 7 more wicked spirits than itself. And they will come and make that person's state worse. Because in that realm, in that kingdom, Satan is wicked. A lot of things happen to that archangel, turn him to Satan. One of the things that turned him is he has a wicked spirit. So you find that when people advance in darkness, they get more and more wicked. Because what is happening is that they are being transformed more and more to the image of that spirit that is the source of their power and their glory. There are different kinds of glory. You understand? 1 Corinthians 15, there are different kinds of glory of the moon, the stars and all of that, different kinds of... The more they are transformed into the nature of that spirit that is the source of that their glory, the more they will manifest the power of that spirit. Do we understand that? So in the kingdom of God, he says, are transformed into the same image. The more you are transformed into the image and nature of Christ, the more your life can give expression to the power of Christ. That is why when you become a believer, the next thing is that you go to the school of the Spirit. The Bible calls it discipleship. Or you are a disciple. A disciple, the modern word for disciple is apprentice or student. When you become a Christian, you become a disciple. That means you are a student of the Spirit, of the Word. And what that schooling system does is that it changes your worldview. It changes your maxims, your ideals. It changes the way you see life. And the more you are changed from where you were, being an old creature, I'm not talking about the spiritual aspect, I'm talking about your soulish aspect, your mind. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The more you are changed to the nature of God, the more your life can give expression to the glory of God. Are we together? He says, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And who is the facilitator of this? The facilitator is the Spirit of God. Now, where did we start from? Arise, shine. The prerequisite for shining is arising. Tell your neighbor, arise. Tell another neighbor, arise. It is time to shine. The prerequisite. What's the requirement for shining is arising. Let us look at the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 14. I wrote that down. I was. Verse 14. Look at this. He said, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise. Have you seen that? From the dead, and Christ shall what? Give thee light. Remember it says, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon thee. What is it saying here again? Awake and arise, and Christ shall give thee light. If you do not arise, your light cannot shine. Remember, if you... Amen. So, we saw that the glory of God attracts people. It says, Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. It is a dimension of the dealings of God that will make your life a marvel. The Bible says that through you, the manifold wisdom, the church of God, might be made known, not just to men, but to the principalities and powers. But this is a function of you arising. Please tell your neighbor, arise. Arise. Now, what does it mean to arise? How do you arise? How do you arise from sleep and slumber? Because you may have all the potential in this world, but if you do not arise, you may never see it come to fruition. How do you arise? What are the practical steps to arising and awakening from sleep? Let's read on first that Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14. Let's read verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know, he says, arise and Christ shall give you light. Now, he's giving us how we arrive at this. See then that ye walk how? Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Continue, sir. Wherefore, be not unwise. You see, when you find somebody that has glory, somebody that is light, somebody that has light, and he carries his light and hides it under a bushel, and he is suffering, his community is suffering, his family members are suffering, is he not a foolish person? You know, Jesus Christ said that, let your light shine. Don't hide your light under a bushel. And now we are saying that, he says we should arise and we should awake from sleep, we should awake from the dead, and Christ shall give us light. And we are seeing practical ways to arise. You see, it's possible for you to have received Jesus and you know you are born again. You know you are born again. But it's possible for you to get to a realm in which it's not only you that we know you are born again. Even the demons in your environment, we know that you are born again. And your neighbors, we know that you are. It's not because you are shouting in the middle of the night though. Praise the Lord. I never told... Okay. You know how we disarmed that woman in that compound? It was... In fact, we... Because some of us were praying in that compound together. We loved her. We showed her the love of God more than ever before. Who has time to be... Who has time... I don't have your time. You know how... And then we started praying. Tell your neighbor, pray. You cannot take prayer out of the equation. We started praying. Oh, we prayed. And we are still praying. And we will never stop praying. And in that compound, we saw how... In fact, people said that she was going to take over that compound. She was going to collect the compound from the owner. Because the owner of the compound actually died. I'm giving too much information. And then, she was actually on her path to getting the person that built the house had died. And the person that was the spouse of the person that built the house, rumor had it that they were having an affair. Do you understand what I'm saying? She was, around that period, when she threatened that woman, I was parking my car in a very dangerous place. The compound is very big. Just in front of the gate. And the gate does not have lock. They don't lock the gate. If they buy padlock today, the padlock will spoil by next week. And so people that had vehicles in that car, about 3 vehicles had disappeared from that car. Not cars, keke, machine. You know? And you know, unbelievers, they are... Anyway. So I wasn't comfortable where I was parking. So I told... I now wanted to... You know, she used to behave like my landlord. So when I now started parking in a more secure place, she said, no, I can't park there. I said, why now? She said, no, that the pavement there will spoil. That I shouldn't park on pavement. That the pavement will spoil. I said, I can't park where you want me to be parking because that place is dangerous for my car. She said, no, I can't park there. The next day, the acting landlord came to come and warn me that I cannot park there. You know, thank God for the wisdom of God though. Because there are some people... You see, it's not everybody that is demon-possessed that knows that they are demon-possessed. Then there are some people that are demon-possessed that they know very well that they are demon-possessed. There are different formulas for dealing with all of them. And there are some people that will just be looking for an opportunity to quarrel with you. Have you met such people before? They are looking for... I don't want to say... They are looking for every opportunity to quarrel. They just want you to be angry. They want people to quarrel. You see, this is what happens. Let me explain to you. The more you are a spiritual being, you have new life, you are born again. But you see, the more you yield to the spirit and walk in the spirit, the more authority you have. The more you yield to the flesh, if you borrow the flesh to use, by yielding to the flesh, you have lost ground in the spirit. So maybe a demon has been wanting to attack you with maybe a fever. And they didn't succeed. And they're like, how do we go? This, her energy level is too high. How do we get her to drop small so that we can attack her? They will go and inspire one friend, in quote, to start quarrel. You know, there's a way somebody will offend you that it takes the Holy Spirit not to react. Somebody comes and does like this. And oh, sorry. The next time a person comes and match your leg. What's going on here? And then the person continues to do it. It takes the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God to not react the way the flesh wants you to react. Amen. Tell your neighbor, arise. You see, if you find a believer that is living in the flesh, he is sleeping. You know what it means to live in the flesh? You know what it means to live in the flesh now? Do we start explaining? Living in sin. Some people lie. In fact, I was preaching to somebody last week. And I don't know how I just told him, I said, you know, as a believer, because he said he's a believer, I said, you have to stop doing the things you were doing before. That's what it means to accept Jesus as your Lord. Because he's now the master of your life. And anything that he does not approve, you can't do it because he's now the owner of you. You know, that's what it means to receive the kingdom of God. It's not, falling under anointing is not as important as receiving the government of God in your life. Because if you receive the government of God, the reason why you repent, because there are some people that have said that you don't need to repent when you give your life to Christ. You've heard that doctrine. The reason why you repent is because you now have a new master. Your life is under new management. And all the things you were doing that did not subscribe to the ordinance of your new organ, you have to stop doing them. That is repentance. And it is the degree to which you yield to his lordship that his power can flow into your life. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, arise. You see, why I'm doing this is because we as sons of God are prophets. We all have different offices, different callings, but we are all functionally prophets. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. I was talking about the congregation of the old covenant. Praise the Lord. So when you tell your neighbor, arise, you are prophesying to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, arise. So when you find a believer who is walking in the flesh, if you read Revelation chapter 3, Jesus Christ was warning a church. He said, you have a reputation that you are alive, but you are dead. You are dead. And he now warned them. He says, but there are some of you that have not yet died. You are still sleeping. That is why he bothered to send that letter to them, so that those ones will awake. Because if you continue to walk in the flesh, what that walking in the flesh is doing is that it is eroding your life. Are we together? Your spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 says, if we walk according to the flesh, we will die. But if we by the spirit put to death the works of the flesh, we will live. So when you find a believer that has taken his place in sin, and let me tell you something, you have to be circumspect. Because if we read that place that we're reading, next place it talks about being circumspect. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, you have to be circumspect. You know why? You never get to a point in which you cannot be tempted. Let me give you counsel. If the Lord has given you victory over a sin that was a stronghold in your life, don't ever become careless in that area all the days of your life. Because what happens when a believer takes his place in a sin? You know, we can all stumble and fall, we repent, God forgives us, and we move on. You understand? But when you find that a sin has become a pattern, a thing, they know that you are a Christian, but you lie. I was preaching to that guy, and the guy said that, it's not possible for you not to lie now. Ha. I said, thank God. You see, and I know many pastors that lie. Oh. There are some people in this hall, about four of you. The reason why your spiritual life was not stable was because you met pastors that lie. You met pastors that when you got, the closer you got to them, you were discouraged. May we not be such pastors in Jesus' name. May we not be such pastors in Jesus' name. So when you are walking in the flesh, what's happening is that you are sleeping. And if you sleep for too long and you refuse to wake up, it will become what the Bible calls death, sleep of death. Are we together? May you not sleep the sleep of death in Jesus' name. So you awake. It says, be thou circumspect. Let's continue, sir, from that Ephesians chapter 5. See then that you walk circumspect, not as fool. Next verse, sir. But as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Continue. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We started praying in that compound. And what happened is that woman now reduced to become a normal tenant like everybody. Miraculously, And I mean, I don't know how to explain these things really. What I mean is that when I got to that compound, she was like the landlady. But when children of God started praying in that compound, she became a normal tenant. The people whose lights she disconnected, all of a sudden, the long and short, they gave her quit notice. Get out of this compound. The same landlord that, are we together? And it was not by reporting, it was by praying. Let's read on, sir. Let's read on. Redeeming the time. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Anything that intoxicates you impedes, weakens your capacity to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? You cannot be under the influence of alcohol and be filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Oh, and it says wherein is excess. It's not only alcohol. Anything that is done in the flesh that is excess. Some people, the reason why they are not walking in the power of God, they are not arising and shining, is because they sleep too much. Yes. Oh, yes. Some people, it's because they eat too much. I understand that ministry. Amen. Amen. Some people, it's because they talk too much. Because anything you allow, any fleshly thing you allow to have excess in your life has the capacity of hindering you from manifesting the power of God, the divine nature that you have received as a seed that is supposed to grow in you. You see, that tree there, there was a time it was a small seed. All that needed to happen was for it to grow. And you see that tree that people are standing under and receiving shed. You have received a nature when you were born again. And that should grow in you. Tell your neighbor, arise. Continue, sir. That read it. He says, speaking to yourselves. One of the ingredients of arising is you must look at the way you speak. Because you speak to yourself a lot. I'm not just talking about what you say with your mouth, and what you say with your mouth is very important. Power of life and death is in your tongue. But what you say in your heart to yourself. Because some people, when they are speaking to, some people, they say, oh, let this guy do, I'm bigger. They are driving, they are complaining to themselves. They are complaining about their wife, about their husband, to themselves. They are speaking to themselves. But what are they speaking to themselves? Complaints. Things that are the reason why they are not filled with the Spirit. You know, he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he now gives us the dynamics of that. You see, after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's possible for you to live a Spirit-filled life. And it's possible for you not to live a Spirit-filled life, even though you fell under anointing and spoke in tongues for 3 hours. Are we together? Now, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are psalms? What are hymns? The book of Psalms, I think there were 5 books in the Hebrew Bible, 5 different books. We put them together in the Christian Bible as 1 book. That was the prayer book of the Jews. That is the prayer book. Are you now understanding the dynamics of praying without ceasing? Psalms, worship, talking to God, talking to yourself, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You want to live a Spirit-filled life, you want to arise, watch what you say to yourself. And it's not as easy as it sounds, I assure you. You know, one of the ways you can control what you are thinking is by controlling what you are saying. That's the reason why when we want you to pray for long, we say you should pray out loud. Because if you are praying in your mind, I give you 5 minutes, your mind will go to Sokoto, it will go to New York. Where are they playing ball now? It will go to Europe. Are we together? But when you are talking, it is easy for you to control your mind by the words you say. Praise the Lord. So it's important you should understand how to use your words. Your words are powerful. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In psalms, you will see thanksgiving. Have you seen the book of Psalms? There is prayer. There is thanksgiving. There is praise. One man was with a very powerful servant of God, Kenneth Copeland. And they were flying together. I don't think the flight was for more than 1 hour. One man of God was with him. And he said that, this man said, thank you, Jesus, more than 100 times. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in Psalms. Singing and making melody in your heart unto God. When you are spiritually healthy, one of the things Apostle says a lot is, he says, there is melody, there will be melody in your heart when your heart is whole, when you are healthy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Mashate kabo sobonianis. Zelena mosholobo saline mosobalanis. For you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be. So what I just did was that I checked my spirit for the song that was there. Praise the Lord. I just checked my spirit for the song that was there. I wasn't doing anything special. Now some of you see that whenever he's ministering, he says the keyboardist is not aligned. Have you seen, you've seen that? No, see, this is what he's saying. It's not about your skill. If your spirit is healthy, he says singing and making melody in your heart to God. He talks about how that the heart is shaped like a harp. Praise the Lord. I can't say it like him. Praise the Lord. And when your heart is healthy and you are filled with spirit, when you check, you see that there's a melody in your soul. Brethren, sing those songs. When you have free time, you are driving, pick that song and sing. That is how you feel yourself. You allow your heart, your mind, your body to be filled with the spirit. So that if someone is sick, you went and say, hey, Pele, hey, I want to touch your fever. And by touching the head, the fever goes away. Because you are filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not something that happens by chance. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit can happen because of impartation. But it says be filled. And he was talking to believers who were already baptized in the Holy Ghost. But there are things you do practically to keep you in the ambience, to keep you filled, speaking to yourself. The next time you were filled with spirit and you felt the presence of God, and then you enter pothole and started complaining about the federal government, check whether you were still filled. Praise the Lord. Glory.
We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised.
Before I started understanding these things, even as a believer, I had BSc and master's degree in complaining. If I begin to complain about the government for you here, do you know that it is not possible for you to be thankful, to be thanking God and be complaining at the same time. You can try it. That you are thanking God. Even if you see what you should be complaining about, you will just discover that your heart can only focus on one thing at the same time. You remember the Bible says that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You want to arise? You want your life to begin to radiate the nature of God? Watch what you say to yourself. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let's read on.
We give you all. Aboshelema no solobane. Da de kayolo sobolane kas. Zolomane telio sobolane bonikaya. We was.
Sorry, put the scripture for me, sir.
Our Lord, you are worthy to.
Remember we said that it is the image that invokes the glory. You want to see the glory of God manifested in your life, allow your life to be transformed to the nature, the image of Christ. And the more you are transformed to the image and the nature of Christ, the more your life will begin to give expression to the glory of God, even without you knowing it. Do you realize that Moses did not know that there was glory on him until people talked about it? Next verse, please. Giving thanks for what? Some things, most things, all things. The next time you enter a pothole and you are worried about your shock absorber, sir, the Bible says what you should do in that situation is what? Thank you, Father, that I have a car that I'm driving. You will always have reason to be thankful. And if you want to focus on this, on the bad, you will always see something to focus on. He says, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father. Yeah? If we start Bible exegesis on that line, unto God and the Father, it will take 3 or 4 hours. Because why we Apostle Paul say unto God and the Father? Because there are workings of the Holy Spirit in you. There are, amen. Amen. You know, it says the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. Because you will know as you grow in your work with God, because just as you grow physically, you grow in cognitive ability. Babies don't see clearly. It was my sister who is a medical person that was telling me, newborn babies, they don't see clearly. But as they grow, they begin to see clearly. Do you understand what I'm saying? As you grow your work with God and you grow your cognitive ability, you will know the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. Amen. You will know what God, praise the Lord. You know, at some point you are praying, everybody is God and it's true. You are praying to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. You are praying to God. But a time will come that you will know, you say, Holy Spirit, thank you, because he was the one that did this. You are walking in fellowship. For example, when you are praying, you know, when Jesus Christ gave us the formula for prayer, let me just take this sidewalk. He said, your prayer is to who? Father. Our. So we pray through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to our Father. Amen. There are many things that, praise the Lord. That's not our topic. There are many things that you may be asking God for. Something happened. Where is Dr. Emmanuel? This morning. And you are like, in the name of Jesus, I command this problem to leave. And the reason why the problem is not leaving is because there has been no provision for that solution from the Father. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit, help me. Okay, did you see what I just did? I just prayed to the Holy Spirit. Because help has already been provided by the Father. In order for me to access the help, I need to align more with the Holy Spirit to tap into it. But there are some things that you may need, that you need to ask the Father. For example, if you are here now, are you asking for healing from the Father? It's okay. It's okay, amen. But healing has already been released 2,000 years ago. So that's why it's called that healing evangelists are people that understand how to walk with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give you all. Bashikete bosobolis. We worship you, Lord. We worship. Put the Bible verse up, sir. Giving thanks to God and the Father. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin sometime in the week, and he said, when he married his wife, a sermon, he said when he married his wife, he always knew that, sorry, the sound is distracting me, sirs, please. He always knew that, let me lower it a bit. He always knew that his wife would die young. He is a prophet. If you know about Kenneth Hagin, his open visions are normal. He's a prophet of God. He said he always knew that his wife would die young. So he used to pray to God. Okay. Because of that, he started avoiding entering into the prophetic. Because every time he enters into the prophetic, and he turns his prophetic antenna towards the direction of his wife, he will know that his wife was going to die. And you know, that's a very scary thing for somebody who just married. So because of that, he would refuse to enter the prophetic. So it was just a knowing he had. So one of these days when Jesus appeared to him, I'm mixing up this. Okay. One of these days when Jesus appeared to him, he asked the Lord Jesus, he said, he has always had this, and this particular time his wife was very sick and she needed to go for surgery. He said he had always had this knowing that his wife will die young. That, is it true? Jesus Christ said yes. That. Amen. Daddy, welcome, sir.
We give you all. The glory. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to.
And then he asked the Lord, and the Lord said yes. You know, there are some of these things that were determined long ago, you understand? And then he now said, but Lord, he doesn't want her to die. That he loves her, he really likes, the words he used, he really likes her. That he will miss her, going to remarry, he will have to start training the wife that, I mean, they've been together, he has trained her, she's his assistant. He started giving strong reasons why he didn't want her to die. And the Lord said, okay, she won't die. And that was it. And he said, the Lord now started crying and said that there are so many things. Now, do you know the powerful thing that happened? This is something that he had been picking prophetically. This is something that if he didn't ask, his wife would have died. She had a goiter that was already suffocating her at this time. But he just asked the Lord simply. And the Lord said, okay. And she lived to become 80-something years old. And the Lord said that many believers suffer just because they don't ask. Just because they don't ask. He said when they come before him, they just keep complaining. May you not be like that in Jesus' name. Appetizer. Amen. Amen. So we said that being filled with the Spirit of God is something that you can, the way you walk, the way you talk. And there are other things we could have gone, but thank God that is here. I've been worried. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Giving thanks to God and the Father for all things. For all things. For all things. You live that kind of life and check whether you will not live a spirit-filled life. It also affects the way you relate with other people. Be submitted. Submitted. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. The reason why believers are submitted to one another is not because they fear each other, but because they ultimately fear God. Amen. Amen. The reason why I'm submitted to my father here is not just because I fear him. There's great grace on his life. If he tell, hey, Basha, let me not tell you some things. There was something that happened in my, that was going on in my life for long. I just told him about it. And we didn't pray. I don't know, Daddy, if you remember. I had one sore throat that did not go. And I was now afraid. Because I had prayed and it did not go. And we talked on the phone. I told him I have sore throat. I said, don't worry. And the sore throat went. We didn't pray about it though. Amen. And I said, now, I fear that you don't want to displease somebody like that. But beyond that, the reason why I'm submitted to him, there's submission. The reason why there's submission in the kingdom of God is because we fear God. Amen. We give you
glory.
worship you. We